All right, we're diving into some pretty murky legal waters today with this United States v. Trump case.
Yeah, it's a big one.
This case has everybody talking because it's looking at a question that's never really been answered before. Like, can a former president be criminally charged for things they did while they were in office?
Right. And the thing is, the Constitution doesn't exactly lay it out in black and white.
Right.
So the D.C. Circuit Court had to sort of figure out how to interpret the existing laws and historical practices to make a decision. And they had to do it in a case that involved accusations of election interference and trying to, like, flip the 2020 election results.
Oh, yeah. Talk about high stakes.
Exactly.
So before we get into what the court actually decided, what were some of the big arguments that Trump's lawyers were using to try to keep him from being prosecuted?
Well, they basically threw everything at the wall, arguing that the Constitution itself, the idea of separation of powers, the fact that Trump was acquitted in his second impeachment, and the concept of double jeopardy, they said all of these things protected him.
Okay, so let's break that down a little bit.
Okay.
What about this idea that the Constitution just gives presidents some kind of blanket immunity?
Well, the court pointed out that, yeah, the Constitution does give certain immunities to members of Congress for stuff they say or do that's related to their, you know, their legislative work. But there's nothing like that specifically for presidents.
So no get-out-of-jail-free card just because you're president.
Right.
What about the separation of powers argument? Did they buy that?
The court acknowledged that it's important to protect the presidency from being, you know, constantly bogged down by legal challenges from the other parts of government.
Sure.
But they said that prosecuting a former president doesn't automatically mess up that balance of power.
Okay.
It's not like they're going after a president who's still in office and potentially, you know, bringing the executive branch to a halt.
Right, that makes sense. What about Trump being acquitted in his second impeachment trial? Did the court see that as some sort of shield against criminal charges?
Nope, not at all. They were really clear that impeachment, which is a political process,
yep,
is totally different from criminal law, which works under a whole different set of rules and standards.
So even though the Senate acquitted him, that doesn't mean he's in the clear, legally speaking.
Exactly.
What about double jeopardy? Did they already try him for this stuff in the Senate?
The court wasn't convinced by that either. They said that impeachment and criminal prosecution are separate things, each with their own bar for how much proof you need.
Okay.
It's kind of like comparing apples and oranges. They might look similar on the surface, but underneath they're totally different.
Interesting. So being tried in the Senate and being tried in a regular court are seen as two different things.
Exactly. They're not considered the same offense when it comes to double jeopardy.
Now, this is where I think things get really interesting. The court didn't just look at the, you know, technical legal stuff.
Yeah.
They also looked at the nature of what Trump was accused of doing, right?
Absolutely. They called out how serious the charges were, calling them an unprecedented assault on the structure of our government.
Mm.
It seems like they were drawing a line between normal political disagreements and actions that cross over into possible criminal behavior.
So even if a president is acting within their official role, that doesn't give them a free pass to do something criminal.
Yeah, that seems to be the heart of what they were saying. And they also made a point of emphasizing how important it is for the public to see that presidents can be held accountable for potential wrongdoing even after they're out of office.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right?
That makes sense. But
yeah, and that leads us to the big decision. What did the D.C. Circuit end up deciding about a former president's immunity?
They really shook things up with their decision. What was the final verdict?
Yeah, they upheld what the lower court had decided, saying that former presidents don't have absolute immunity from criminal prosecution for actions they took while they were in office.
Wow, that's a big deal. This is the first time a federal appeals court has come right out and said that. So what does a ruling like this mean? What are the implications?
This is a landmark case. It could completely change how we look at executive power and accountability in the U.S. This isn't just about Trump. It sets a precedent for every future president.
Okay, so this has massive implications for the future, but let's take a step back for a second. Does this ruling mean presidents have zero immunity, like none at all?
Well, it's a bit more complicated than that. It's not a total free-for-all when it comes to prosecuting former presidents.
Okay.
The court was careful to say that this case is different from situations that involve civil liability where presidents do have certain protections.
So they could still be sued for things they did before or after their time as president. But what about stuff they did while they were in the Oval Office?
Right, like in Nixon v. Fitzgerald, the Supreme Court said in that case that a president has absolute immunity from civil lawsuits for things they did while in office.
Okay.
But when it comes to criminal charges, the D.C. Circuit is saying that the bar for immunity is way higher.
It sounds like they're trying to find a balance. They want to protect the presidency, but they also want to make sure that no one is above the law.
Exactly. They're basically saying that you can't hide behind a claim of absolute immunity if you engage in criminal conduct, even if you were doing in presidential duties.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like the court felt that the potential damage to our democracy from the alleged actions was more important than any worries about limiting presidential power.
Right. That makes sense. But Could this make future presidents afraid to make tough choices? What if they're always worried about facing criminal charges after they leave office?
That's a good point. Some legal scholars are already talking about a potential chilling effect on how presidents make decisions. They're saying that if presidents are always afraid of being prosecuted, they might avoid making bold moves, even if those actions are good for the country.
So it's a balancing act. We want to make sure that presidents are accountable, but we don't want them to be so afraid of making a mistake that they can't do their jobs effectively.
Exactly.
Was there anything in this ruling that you found particularly interesting or maybe even surprising?
One thing that stuck out to me was how focused the court was on the specific law that Trump was charged under, 18 U.S.C. Section 241.
Hold on, break that down for us a bit. What does that law cover and why was it so important in this case?
Okay, so imagine a group of people are scheming to stop someone from voting because of their race or religion.
Right.
That would be violating their constitutional rights, and that's the kind of behavior this law is designed to stop. The court was basically saying that messing with someone's right to vote, which is a fundamental right in our democracy, is a really serious offense.
So they're saying that if what Trump is accused of doing is true, it wasn't just politics as usual, it was an attack on the core of how our democracy works.
Right. The court argued that the alleged actions, if they're true, struck at the very heart of our system by trying to keep people from voting and overturning the results of a fair election. It's a powerful statement about how important it is to protect our elections and make sure that everyone's vote counts.
This case really highlights how important each person's right to vote is and how fragile our democracy can be. But as we've said, this is just one step in what could be a very long legal battle. What are some of the big questions that might come up if this case goes to the Supreme Court?
One of the biggest ones is how we define official acts versus personal conduct. The D.C. Circuit seemed to suggest that even things presidents do as part of their official duties could lead to criminal charges if they broke certain laws, especially laws that protect basic rights like voting.
So it's not enough for a president to just say, hey, I was doing my job. The actions themselves have to be legal.
Right.
What else might the Supreme Court look at?
Well, they might dive deeper into the question of intent.
Okay.
To prove a criminal conspiracy, prosecutors have to show that the people involved had a specific criminal intent in mind. It's not enough to show that something bad happened. They have to prove that the people involved knew they were breaking the law and did it on purpose.
So it's not just about the what, it's about the why.
Exactly. And proving intent can be really difficult, especially in a case with this much complex political stuff going on.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
And don't forget, the political implications of this case are huge. We're talking about a former president potentially facing criminal charges. That's uncharted territory.
It's mind-blowing to think about all the potential consequences, especially with another presidential election coming up. This case could change how we view the presidency, the balance of power, and even the very idea of accountability in our democracy.
For sure.
Yeah. It really makes you wonder how all this might affect the 2024 election. Will people be more careful about how they handle things, especially when it comes to, like, certifying election results, knowing that they could be held responsible for anything that's seen as criminal?
Oh, absolutely. This case could make people a lot more hesitant, which could lead to even more legal challenges and delays in getting those election results certified. And then on the other hand, it might actually embolden those who want to mess with the election process, thinking that the legal side of things is still kind of fuzzy when it comes to holding a president accountable.
So the impact of this case could reach way beyond just Trump himself. It could change how elections are run in the future, how power is used within the executive branch, and even how the public views the legitimacy of our whole democratic system.
Yeah, no doubt. It's a real wake-up call that our entire system of government relies on this delicate balance of power with all these checks and balances in place to make sure no one branch gets too much power. This case is really pushing those checks and balances to the limit and making us face some really fundamental questions about presidential power and how we hold our leaders accountable under the law.
It's a debate that's been going on forever, but this case is putting it right in our faces, making us confront these issues in a way that few other cases have. So as we wrap up this deep dive, what are some key takeaways you hope our listeners will walk away with?
I think the biggest one is that this fight over presidential immunity is nowhere near finished. The D.C. Circuit's decision is a big deal, but it's probably just one chapter in a much longer story. And as we head into another election year, these issues are only going to get more and more important.
It's definitely a case that will keep people talking and shape the legal landscape for years to come. We've covered a lot of ground today, but there's always more to uncover. What's one question that this case brings up that you think people should keep thinking about?
That's a tough one, but I think the biggest unanswered question is this. How do we balance holding presidents accountable with the reality of governing in such a complex world? Can we hold them responsible for what they do without tying their hands so much that they can't make those difficult decisions that come with the job? That's something we all need to consider as we look forward.
It's definitely a lot to think about, and I think this deep dive has given us all a better understanding of this landmark case. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you found it insightful and maybe even sparked some new ideas. Until next time, keep those legal minds sharp.